Hi, Ash.
Hey, Taryn.
So I have a fun fact.
Oh, okay.
Or fiction for you.
Right.
Did you know that lobsters pee out of their faces?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
I hate that.
This website called Women's Day said so.
Women's Day?
Yeah. They pee out of their faces.
I don't. Well,
I feel like that's true.
I mean, they have a tail, but like you would think it would. No.
No. They do, Ash.
You think mermaids do too?
What?
Because they have tails too.
Why would a mermaid pee out of their face?
Where else would they pee from? If lobsters can do it, mermaids
they
can do it.
They have human faces, I think.
Well, they don't have legs. There's nothing down there.
Why would your mind go straight to mermaids pee out of their faces?
I don't know. That just was where I'm at right now.
You should be ashamed. Ashamed of yourself.
It's a great question, though. Where do mermaids pee from?
From their hoo-haws.
They don't have hoo-haws.
Yeah, they
have tails.
How do they?
They don't have hoo-haws.
You don't know.
I love that
you
it's,
don't know.
We're calling it hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha.
I just thought of shark bait. Hoo-ha.
Of course you did.
Anyways, welcome back to the podcast. This is Unsolicited Advice. I'm Ashley. That's Taryn.
Oh.
Well, we love to give you guys our advice, and we're a hot mess right now.
And
that's where we're at.
You.
Oh. I thought we could do this together.
Sure.
I thought we could be a united front, but evidently not.
I will say we both are very tired, and it's very rare that I feel like I'm dragging myself here to record, and I felt dragged.
Oh.
Not that I don't enjoy it, but I just, like, I was like, how am I going to get my energy
to clarify, we love recording.
Oh, love
we
it.
Love this podcast and
love
we love
it.
You guys as listeners. But getting here was rough today. It was really hard. Yeah. And we both deserve a gold trophy for for getting our asses here on time.
Yes, we do.
Because it took a lot of effort. Okay?
It really did.
A lot of effort.
It really did.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here.
Yeah.
Made it.
We made it.
Oh my God, only 2 minutes. I'm so tired.
So tired.
Okay.
So much more to do and talk about.
So much to do. I'm trying to think if there's anything to catch the people up on. You know, it's the holiday season.
It's December. We're fully in the holiday swing.
I feel like most people now are like embracing the holidays. I embraced long ago.
Yeah. Taryn's been there, done that.
Long ago.
Been there, done that.
You know what the struggle is about living with two YouTubers during the holidays?
We vlog every day?
Well, yeah. No, that doesn't bother me. I'm used to that. It was like I wanted to decorate for Christmas like in November.
Right.
But they save it to be a part of Vlogmas. Mm-hmm. So I struggled, but we're in December, so I'm okay now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when you vlog every day, you need to have something
to vlog. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't
it
can't just be the same thing.
It makes sense.
So,
yeah.
Setting up the Christmas tree is one of those things that we always do December 1st.
For the vlog.
So we can vlog it.
Do it for the vlog.
Do it for the vlog.
I don't think there's anything new.
No.
That I need to share. Wow. We're just, you know, so interesting today. I don't have anything to share, but I have a really weird complaint in my life right now.
Complaint?
Yeah. So, like, as anyone, I'm slightly addicted to TikTok, right?
Right, for sure.
And
same.
I feel like my For You page used to be so good.
Oh.
Like, they had me figured out. Like,
it was
people
comedy.
Getting hurt, people just, like, doing stupid skits, like, whatever. It's so off right now. So, like, I don't even enjoy, like, my night ritual of, like, going on.
Scrolling.
Having a couple laughs. Like, now it's just, like, all, like, clips of movies.
Movie clips?
Yeah. Have you
That's
gone
weird.
Onto that side of TikTok? People
I
will
have.
Literally, like, it'll be, like, part one, and it'll go to, like, part 20, and it's just, like, them recording a TV, like, playing a movie.
No.
It's a weird side of TikTok.
I don't like that.
I will say.
I don't like
but,
that.
But, and I don't know why I felt the need to complain about that, but I got it out and I feel better.
I mean, I feel like TikTok's really good at figuring you out, so I'm surprised that you're off right now. Terrence typically is like the epitome of funny.
Yes.
Like we, Taryn and I have on numerous occasions sat down and just scrolled through her liked videos because they're hours. So funny. We even had a friend's birthday party at our house once and we insisted that everyone go through and watch all of Taryn's liked videos.
We sat there for hours
and laughed hysterically. Like it was hilarious. It was so funny.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm disappointed. Happy. That bums me out. You know what that means? That means you need to be more active on it probably.
But it sucks, so I don't want to be active. Yeah. So I'm in a loop.
But it's one of those like you have to be active for it to know you kind of situations. Guess. You know what I mean?
It doesn't know me. It was the one thing in my life that really knew me.
I'm offended.
Now I have nothing. Oh, sorry. So sorry.
I'm upset.
I love you so much.
I'm a throw a fit.
I love you so much. Should we just get into?
Yeah, because you know. I'm not here today.
You really aren't here. I feel like my not here and your not here are very different.
Yeah. My not here means Taryn does all the talking.
My not here, I still am functionable. You're not here, you're not
I'm
functional.
Not functional. No. I need to go lay in bed and fall asleep to a movie.
Fully.
That's what I need.
But
that's
at
what
least,
I need right now.
You embrace it and I feel like I've learned to navigate it well. I'll just be like, are you not at a, you can't listen to me right now? And you'll be like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Once I've zoned out a good two or three times, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Don't bother. Don't try to bring me back in.
Good time.
I'm floating off into the next. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Continue. We're going to roll past that.
Go ahead.
We're going to go ahead and enter into tearing it up. See if this can liven
us up. Thank God. Yeah.
And then you can go first. So then.
I would love.
We could
get through me.
We could just get your parts over and then you could just leave. Imagine.
I read my story, walk out the room. And it's just you left with Taryn. I feel like a good most of you guys would prefer to just listen to Taryn talk. Would you ever have a solo episode?
I mean, if I
could, you do a solo episode?
I think so because I entertain myself all the time.
You would just have to sit there and just talk. The only thing is, if your brain goes blank, you're out of luck.
But my brain doesn't go blank.
See, mine does.
Yeah, I could see you being like, "Hold on, Mark," and just sitting for 5 minutes.
It would be a quiet. Actually, that could be kind of funny.
We both
if
do solo
it's like
episodes?
Edited properly. Yeah. What if you did a solo episode and you allowed me to edit your episode? That could be fun.
Okay, as long as I don't have to edit yours.
It's supposed to be a tradesy, Taryn. How dare you? Read the Taryn it up.
Okay, I'm reading it. Anyways.
For those of you who don't know, Tearing It Up is the segment where you guys send in absolutely hysterical, funny stories.
Just like me.
So we can get a good laugh. That's why it's titled Tearing It Up.
It is. Okay. this one, I forgot what the title is and I don't know how to go. Oh, this is called A Holiday Tearing It Up.
A Holiday Tearing It Up. How perfect. This is great.
It is perfect.
I love
great.
Themes.
Me too.
Themes, me too. Themed stories. What?
I don't know. Ashley. Again, just going to roll past that. Okay. Hello, Ashley and Taryn.
Hello.
Y'all requested embarrassing holiday stories, and I'm here to deliver.
Fantastic.
I'm like Taryn in many ways. Not only am I an Enneagram 2 Wing 3, oh my gosh, but I also have ridiculous things happen to me that no one can believe. I wonder if there's a connection there.
Yeah. Possibly blood related?
No, I mean to the Enneagram and bad stuff happening to
Mother F.
Why would I be blood related?
I don't know. I was like,
I
sure.
just have cousins wandering around I don't know about.
You didn't clarify. You didn't clarify. That left plenty of room for me to assume things. Okay.
It
left plenty of
peeing out of their face.
Plenty of wiggle room for me to assume.
Shh. Okay. We're going to keep going now.
I quit.
I know. Just leave. I hope you enjoy this story and it makes you feel less alone, Taryn. It did. Okay. This embarrassing tale takes place on December 15th at the Westlake Village Ice Skating Park. I don't know where that is.
Do you? In Westlake?
Don't we have Westlake out here?
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's the
I'm
same.
I'm sure there's a Westlake in a
same.
Lot of different places.
No, I know it's not the same because of a fact that will come in a minute. During the holiday season, they convert the lake into an ice skating rink. We don't have
a lake.
We don't have a lake. accompanied by twinkling lights, holiday music, and festive decor. I've included a photo of the ice skating rink so you can picture the chain of events I'm about to tell you. Okay, can you see? It's like the
rink,
my
God, that's
and
beautiful.
Then there's the water.
That is beautiful.
So pretty.
You know what that reminds
we'll
me of?
We'll post it.
What? Hotel Del in
so
San
pretty.
Diego.
Should we go there?
Has an ice rink and it's right on the beach.
I'm not good at ice skating, but I'll go.
It's right on the beach. It's beautiful.
My coworker had asked me out on a date, their first date, and brought me here.
Cute.
I thought it was so romantic and felt straight out of a cheesy Hallmark Christmas films, which, by the way, those slap.
I'm not a fan.
I love them.
I don't like them.
We've talked about this before.
Taryn's obsessed.
It's
I can't stand it.
Always the best plot.
Is it?
Yes. Like,
no.
Your dog was related to Rudolph. So then he runs away, and when you chase him, then Santa's there, and then you get recruited.
Yeah.
To the North Pole. Yeah. It's great. It's beautiful.
And what
and
it is
you
just
you
have to, you just have to embrace the cheese. The cheese is
you
not going
to.
Anywhere, and you just have to go.
And nothing is working for me in my own life. So, and everything works for everyone in those movies. So I just pretend
a sense
I'm
of
in
satisfaction.
It. Yes.
Got it. Okay.
I thought, nope, read that already. The date was going perfectly as we were skating around, holding hands and enjoying the festive spirit. As we were skating around, I suddenly felt something hard and cold hit the back of my head. I turned around and saw a group of teenage boys throwing snowballs from across the distance.
How dare they?
How dare they? But like, how fun.
Yes, but also,
but those hurt.
How dare they?
Yeah, those hurt. I laughed it off and continued to try and skate when suddenly more snowballs came raining down on us. The person behind me got hit straight in the face, which made them fall into me. I started to slip on the ice and tried to grab the wall to steady myself, but tripped over another person's skate as they went by, causing me to fly over the wall into
what?
The lake below.
That's oh my God.
Rough.
But on a first
also,
date.
That is also very Hallmark movie.
It is very Hallmark. Well, how did she? I don't.
Remember the picture? The gate? It's like literally just like a wood fence.
Oh.
So she was going to grab the wall to steady herself.
Got it.
And then someone had
the
fallen.
Fence. She went
she
to grab the fence
and went over.
Got it. Because.
Yeah. Which honestly,
I was picturing like a skating rink, and it's pretty hard to fall over those walls.
Well, did
unless
you look at the picture that I showed you?
I wasn't paying that much
of
attention,
course you were not.
But I see it. Oh my God. I'm feeling attacked.
Just kidding. I love you. I'll show it. Do you want to see it again?
No. I remember what it looks like.
But I'm just picturing like that's very Hallmark, like fall in the water and then he helps you out and you're yeah. so embarrassed and
he's
then you get married.
Mother forking Prince Charming and he yeah. slips a glass uh-huh. slipper on your shoe.
Yep. Yep.
Sure.
Glass slipper on your shoe. You should just take a nap real quick.
I'm leaving. I don't need to. I clearly should not be here.
Nope.
I feel like I'm like doing something illegal.
Continuing, as I surfaced, as I surfaced from the water, I saw everyone, including my date, looking at me from above. I was mortified, and all I wanted to do was stay under the water and pretend that didn't just happen. I swam back to the shore to the best of my ability
with
skates on.
Skates on? Oh, my God.
How do you not drown? It's like all arms.
Imagine accidentally, like, slicing a fish or something like
dang.
That.
Dang. That would
kicking.
Suck for the fish.
I mean.
They're just like, do-do-do.
Yeah.
Anyways. As I tried to get myself back on land, I continued to slip and fall into the mud. My date quickly came. Yeah. My date quickly came and helped me out of the water, and we made our way back to his car so he could take me home. I felt so bad because he got his car detailed for our date.
Oh, no.
Which,
adorable.
Winna, chicken dinner.
Adorable.
And there I was soaking his seats with mud and lake water. That's rough.
That's
lake water's
dirty
rough.
Water, yeah.
Needless to say, that was our last date. But that why is that needless to say?
That butthole.
What a butthole. That was
I love
our last
calling
date.
Someone a butthole.
Yeah,
it's
I do
so
too.
Funny.
Or butthead, but it's funny too. and I will never ice skate again. Hope you all enjoyed my story and you both have a safe and happy holiday. Your faithful listener, Amanda. That's really rough.
I could not imagine having that whole experience, let alone it being a first date.
But I feel like those are the dates that like something lasts when you like found it on something crazy. Like,
well, you would think so.
But I didn't.
Evidently not. However, I'm sure both of them, including him, will always remember that one time they went on a date.
Yeah, and as they should.
She went over.
As they should.
Into the water. Dang. So did you ever have anything super embarrassing happen on a first date?
Which one of four are we talking about? No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously. I'm like worse one.
My worst first date, honestly, nothing too crazy. I've had a couple bad dates where I was just like, ugh, like I'm not into this, and it went on forever. But I went on a blind date when I was younger, and he took us to Carl's Jr., which, like, if it would have been Del Taco, I would have been like, cool. But I'm not like a huge Carl's Jr. fan. And then we went mini golfing and there was a really cute couple in front of us. Mm-hmm. And everything that the guy did to the girl, he would do to me. Like literally.
What?
The guy moved the log so it hit the girl's ball when she was trying to hit it and they like laughed. So then we go to that hole and he grabs the log and hits my ball and like laughs. But it was so obvious, and I was like, you do realize, like, I'm seeing this stuff, too.
That's kind of psychotic. It was not super funny.
I think he was, like, nervous and didn't know how to act, but it made it so uncomfortable. Yeah. It was a long date.
Yeah. Interesting. I was thinking more, like, embarrassing.
I don't think I've embarrassed myself yet.
I don't think
yet.
I've ever done anything super embarrassing on a
first date.
But
I've been on a lot.
Date. Yeah. I'm trying to think of something, but I don't think I have anything. I'm the smoothest.
You're pretty on guard.
Oh yeah.
When you go.
Absolutely.
First dates. So I could see like nothing happening because you're like, I will not let.
I'm not it myself happen. Until at least 8-4.
Yeah. That's probably why they only last a couple of dates. Yeah.
I've gone on a lot of first dates. They're like, this girl's weird and boring.
Oh man.
Oh shoot.
Anywho. Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1-week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get into my story, which I'm actually really excited about because I don't think that we have discussed this topic. We've talked about this topic, but not in this sense or in this situation, which I feel like is very interesting because it's one of our most popular topics.
Dating.
No. Oh. But also, it has a twist where you're like, oh, interesting. Like,
it's our most popular
topic. It's one of our, can I finish, Taryn?
Sorry, yeah. Gosh.
It's one of our most popular topics, but it has a little bit of a twist, which I feel like is going to make our conversation very interesting.
Okay.
Also, we live in LA, where I feel like we can talk about this a lot.
Oh.
This one is titled, Growing Up with a Mom Full of Plastic Surgery. Anonymous is what she says. First line, all caps, anonymous.
Oh, but is this body positivity?
Body positivity.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. Well, sideline.
I would have guessed.
Her mom has a lot of plastic surgery.
I would have guessed it was something dating by our most talked about topic.
Oh, well, but it's one of the most talked about.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay. That would be my second guess.
Yeah, don't try to shoot me down, Taryn.
Oh, I'm not. I was trying to guess. I'm trying to participate. Let me be here.
Okay, I'm going to start reading now. They write, hey, Ash and Taryn. She called me Ash. I love you too. I love the pod so much. I've listened to every episode of your podcast except the October series because I'm way too scared for that.
I feel that.
Anyways, I'm just going to get right into it. I've always struggled with loving my body. Ever since about sixth grade, I felt like I was the bigger girl of the group. But when I look at pictures of me from the past, I think I look so tiny and I wish that I could go back to that size. Even though I know that when that picture was being taken, I thought I was huge. I know that no matter what size I am, my body will never be perfect to me. And that is something I'm always going to struggle with. It's gotten better now that I'm a junior in high school. Even though I've gained weight, I've started to learn to love my body, which is amazing. Congratulations.
Heck yeah.
I still have bad days more often than not, but that's not what I'm writing to you about. Ever since I was a little girl, my mom has always preached body positivity. She would always tell me that I wasn't allowed to say bad things about my body and that I was perfect just the way I was. This may seem like it was good, but I actually grew up feeling like I couldn't talk to anyone about my insecurities because it, quote, wasn't allowed in the house or in the family.
Dang, that's a crazy dynamic
that
where
is.
You feel like you're doing... Like, on the outside, it sounds like, oh, that good for that
good
mom.
For, what a good mom.
But then, she
but
still
then
needed
it's not
a safe
place.
Dang.
She continues, about 6 years ago, I found out that my mom had a boob job. I was heartbroken when I found this out because she had expected me to love my body the way it was, but clearly she didn't love her own, ? Over the years, I found out that she has had a lot of plastic surgeries, like a tummy tuck, Botox, boob job, things done to her vagina, etc. And every time I find out something new, I get more hurt. I'm all for plastic surgery. I think if you want to get something done, you can, and it's no one else's business. But for some reason, it makes me really sad that my mom has done all of these things. Growing up with only sisters, my mom would walk around naked a lot and sleep in like a bra and underwear, so I saw her body all the time. I grew up thinking her body was perfect and wondered why mine didn't look like hers. For years, I thought that there was something wrong with me because my boobs weren't as perky as hers or because my tummy wasn't as flat as hers, but it turns out that it was all fake. Tonight, at a family dinner, my mom and her sisters were talking, and I obviously was eavesdropping, and it turns out that most of them have had plastic surgery. And it's all very natural, and I would have never known if I hadn't heard them say it. Now I'm just laying in bed questioning everything. My mom and aunts are women I've looked up to my whole life. Obviously, they have insecurities, too, if they've gotten plastic surgery. But I just feel betrayed for some reason. I can't understand how I'm expected to love my body when clearly they can't love theirs. You would think that knowing that they all had plastic surgery would make them feel better because it's all fake, but it doesn't.
Wait. I said that make wrong. Her feel better.
Yeah.
No, I followed.
It's all fake, but it doesn't. I feel worse about myself knowing what they've done. I don't really know if I'm asking for advice or if I just wanted to tell someone about how I'm feeling, but I'm laying in bed after that family dinner and it just felt like I needed to write to you guys about this. Thanks for listening to me, Anonymous. Interesting though, right?
Yeah.
It's like the body positivity that we talk about and love and preach all the time, but then like this weird twist where it's like you want to say that, anyone can do whatever they want to their body. But then it's frustrating when you're told, you're perfect. You don't need to do anything when that person is clearly doing stuff to their body.
It's funny because I feel like there's certain situations where you look from an outside perspective and you're like, wow, if just like a couple tiny things were just slightly different, this wouldn't be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all of this boils down to... like open honesty. Like if her mom was more open with her being able to like just talk about her insecurities, or if her mom was honest about, hey, like, yeah, I've done this stuff to my body. I think it's the whole like she feels betrayed and she feels like, okay, I've been getting these double messages and it shakes like who, because your parents are your like foundation for stuff.
Yes, I love that you said that because that's exactly what I was going to say. One of the biggest fights me and my sister have ever been in, and Taryn was there for the whole thing,
was
a big deal because it wasn't what I did. It was that I didn't tell my sister.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be shocked, and I agree with Taryn, that I bet it's not the plastic surgery that you're mad at or the fact that your aunts have boob jobs and tummy tucks and stuff like that. It's the fact that you didn't know about it.
Yeah.
When they've been preaching nonstop.
A message that it seems to be opposite.
Right.
Because I don't think all people, I think plastic surgery is very much an individual decision.
Yeah.
I might not agree with like, not that I don't. I'm more just like, I don't think you need that when I see people.
No one needs it.
But I think it's not as much that. It's the preaching. you don't need to change anything about you. You're perfect the way you are. Nope, we're not even talking about insecurities because that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And then being like, but your body, who I've been comparing my body to, is not even your body. So like yeah. how... That's such a weird dynamic.
Yeah. And I will say, on your mom's defense, I don't know how young I would want my kids being exposed to plastic surgery.
Did she say how old she is?
She's a junior in high school. Okay, but I feel, yeah. in my personal opinion, my kids, I feel like I would tell them around that age. Or not tell them, but I would want them to not feel like they need it at that age. Because I'll come right out and say it. After I have kids, I might do a mommy makeover because I might. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's something I would probably look into. I don't know if I'll actually do it, but it's in there. It's in the back of my head one day. And, you know, maybe that's something that happened to your mom. Like, maybe she wasn't expecting it and then had kids and was like, you know what? I'd like my boobs to look a little nicer, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if she's wanting you to not even think that way in the age of high school, because high school is such a dramatic, like, I hate everything about myself. Like, it's so difficult, and you can really easily spiral in comparing yourself to other people.
Yeah.
Let alone like plastic surgery.
Yeah, that's true. Because I feel like as a parent, if I was gonna communicate that, I would want to do it in a very like intentional way of sitting them down and being like, hey, this was a choice I made because of this, this, and this, mm-hmm. but I don't want that to reflect on
you,
you know, how you view your body, or for you to think like how I view my own body. So I feel like it should have been a much more like delicate discussion versus her like finding out all this stuff and being like, wait, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think what would be cool, because clearly your mom seems very open about communicating about body positivity and stuff like that. She obviously was hiding this from you, but I think it would be really cool if you're able to like say, hey, can we talk about the fact that you've gotten all these surgeries done? Can you explain to me why, and like why you'll preach love yourself at me, but you can't love yourself? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm sure she would love to sit down and explain why. Like, I personally, I haven't had any surgeries done, but I get filler under my eyes because Taryn knows this, but obviously listeners don't. I have the like deepest, darkest under eye circles that have been an insecurity of mine since, like, I don't know. I've always had bad allergies and I always blamed it on that, but like high school.
Yeah.
And that's something that once I started doing it, I was like, I loved it. Mm-hmm. And there's a very specific reason as to why I get that done under my eyes. And I would tell anyone.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like your mom probably has a very similar story as to why she chose to get those things done. And maybe having that conversation with her and hearing her out as, you know, why she chose to do it might be very beneficial for you.
Well, yeah. And I think it'll be freeing for you to be like, hey, I just want to have an honest conversation. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to be like cruel in anything I'm saying.
Or judge you for surgeries.
Yeah. Like, I feel a little bit messed up by like the way stuff's handled, and mm-hmm. you made me feel like I couldn't even voice insecurities, and you made me feel like I had to accept my body, but then I'm finding out that like you changed yours. So like all these mixed messages are making me feel really confused about like where I stand on how I view myself and how just I like view women and body and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it needs ultimately, like, after I heard that entire thing, I was like, okay, like a conversation needs to happen.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then from there, I think you need to find independence in forming your own beliefs and like walking forward being like, hey, no matter what like my mom said, no matter what like I felt or how this shifted my opinion, either way, moving forward, like, I'm going to own this is how I view, like, my body, and this is what I'm doing to work on my confidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I will say I do think there's still very much a stigma around plastic surgery mm-hmm. and getting anything done to you. But I do think that the common denominator here is self-love and realizing that every woman gets to choose whatever the hell they want to do with their body.
Yeah.
If that means surgeries, cool. Like, good for you. If that's what you want, do it. If that's not on your list at all and you think that that is, you know, fake or doesn't fit your lifestyle, then fine, don't do it. But we shouldn't be trying to tear each other down because of those things or compare ourselves to someone who is completely, you know, has gotten a lot of surgeries. And then, like me, for example, there's been a lot of times where I've stood next to people at events and I've just been like, dang,
yeah,
her jaw could cut a woman. Yeah. You know, or like her lips are so plump and mine disappears when I laugh. Like, you know, like it's so easy to get lost in that comparison and we need to stop that.
Well, especially when it has to do with people who have altered an appearance. Like, why would you thrive to be like someone who like
strive
just looks what did I say?
Thrive. But we all followed.
Thrive and strive.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, for me to, like, look at someone and be like, oh, I'm so jealous they got so skinny. Well, if they did it with the surgery, like, that was the choice that they made. So, of course, it's immediate results because they did a procedure to get that. So, I can't expect me to, like, start eating different and then all of a sudden I have a flat stomach.
You can't hold the same timeline to yourself.
Like, but even, like, not just with surgery, even, like, me and you, like, we could both start eating the same exact stuff and doing the same exact workouts, and it would have different impacts on both of our bodies.
Like, I have so many friends that thrive on cardio.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me. Weights have always worked for me.
You mean strive?
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No. Oh, I was like, did I mess up? but it really is. I agree with Taryn. It's recognizing, and this is like the message to be taken away from this, is that recognizing that every single body is different and every single person is different. And you, Taryn, get to choose to do whatever you want to your body, just like I get to choose whatever I want to do to my body. And that doesn't mean that either of us are right or wrong.
Yeah.
That's just the gift of being able to choose what you want to do with your life.
And comparison really is like the devil.
It's bad. I will say, Anonymous, I feel like it would have been hard for me in high school to see my mom having a perfect body and me feeling like I didn't.
Yeah.
So I want to go ahead and recognize that. And I feel like that would have been really hard for me also. And then realizing that a lot of it's fake, then I would be like, well, geez. Like, so I am sorry that you're feeling this type of way, but I think your mom sounds like she would be down to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And I think you should initiate it.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I mean, loving bodies is hard just as is. Period. So that's a lot of extra added stuff and hurt and feeling like betrayed and all that stuff to add on top of an already very like sensitive topic. Mm-hmm. So I would try to separate as much as possible.
Yes.
And be like, I'm going to deal with this thing with my mom. I'm going to deal with like the fact that like I'm a little bit shattered in my beliefs. Let me like restructure. And then as I've like sifted through that, now I'm going to get back to like, what can I do daily to make myself feel like I am beautiful and I'm worthy of everything, no matter what my body looks
like. Daily affirmations are an easy go-to thing that you can do.
Yeah.
A brand new pair of shoes always does it for me, but that's just that's me personally.
Honestly, you know what I've been doing a lot of, and I don't know if this is TMI, but I'm just going to push through the awkwardness.
It's not. This is a safe place.
I've been making myself like get ready naked. My face, serums, like washing my face, doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Doing my hair. And I've just been like making, and I'll like dance and I'll just be like looking at myself. And I don't know why I've come to like love my body so much more because now it's not something that I'm like, oh, I just throw on clothes and try to hide it. Now I'm like looking at my body and I'm like, that girl, you hot. Like, what are you whining about?
It's,
you know?
It's weird how it's the unspoken thing is the way you said throw on clothes and try to hide it. Is there's obviously a shame factor there.
Oh, so much.
So, but what's fun is, and I agree, one of my favorite things to do is to get ready and like my undies and bra or whatever and dance sexy in the mirror. It hypes you up so much. And I feel like people talk about this when it comes to like job interviews, to like look at yourself in the mirror while you talk and like feel that confidence and fire yourself up.
Yeah.
Same thing happens. Like if I'm nervous going out on a first date, I'm in my room listening to music, looking at myself in the mirror, being like, damn, girl, you hot.
Doing the robot.
Yeah. I'm like not feeling myself. I'm about to go out. I'm like, I'm in my room listening to music, dancing in the mirror, being like, damn girl, you hot. So
you have to. You have to gas yourself up.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got this. You totally got this.
Yep.
I think just go into this conversation, get everything out that you need to.
Own the conversation. You are the conversation.
Yeah.
Be the conversation.
And learn to love your curves. There's nothing wrong with being the curvier one in the group. Like, you're speaking to the crowd over here. And I will say, I've noted, like, you're going to pull different guys than, like, the other ones would pull and vice versa. Like, I think it's easy to be like, oh my gosh, like guys only like my friends. No, there's going to be guys that are like, nah, she's not it. You know, like also, she's too skinny.
I know so many friends and so many acquaintances that were all stick thin and they're getting boob jobs to have some kind of curve.
Yeah.
Like I'm serious. Like there's a reason they're getting those surgeries is because they don't have those curves. So
yep.
Both ends of the spectrum can be very toxic and we need to learn to love ourselves.
Yeah, I agree.
Have those conversations with friends, with moms who have plastic surgeries, and with ourselves. I'm proud of you for having this conversation with your mom because I know you're going to have it. And yeah, thanks for writing in.
So just like always, Ash.
Yeah.
We seem to pick stories.
How do we do this?
I honestly don't know.
I was like, oh, we haven't. I feel like we haven't had a body positivity one in a minute. I'm going to pick this one.
Not in that way.
Okay.
But like yours is an issue with mom.
Oh.
Mine is the daddy issues.
Oh. Well.
Isn't that nuts?
We all have one of them. Or both.
You good?
Not me, but well. No, I'm just kidding. Love you, mom. Love you, dad.
Dad. Okay. So this one is called Toxic Family and Daddy Issues. There's so many people listening right now that are like, woof.
Yeah. Damn.
Did I write this? Okay. Hey, Taryn and Ashley. My Siri just went on. So there's no one in your contacts by that name. Oops. Okay. I would really love your advice, and I'm sure other people out there would benefit from hearing this story and your advice. I just recently discovered your podcast and have not stopped listening to it. The OCD in me had me start all the way from the beginning to where it all began. I'm like that too.
I'm so proud of you. Wow.
I can't
jump into
anything. Mm. Like, I have to start from the beginning, and I have to knock every single one out, or something within me is like...
I'm like that with shows, not at all with podcasts, unless it's a story.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a fictional
but
story.
But I've mentioned before, I would not be surprised if I have slight OCD. There's
Oh, for sure.
There's certain things that tendencies I have or like.
I feel like we've talked about this multiple times. You do.
I think I do.
You don't need to say you're shocked because we both know that you do.
I think I do. Which is so funny because one time I said something about. Oh, like my OCD. And there were like three people that messaged me really aggressively. And they were like, OCD is not a joke. It's a condition. Like, I think they thought I was trying to be like funny about it. But I was like, no. I don't think you understand. Like, I legitimately think I have it.
Also, to those people, calm down.
I know.
Relax.
Anyways. Okay. Thanks, Ash.
Gotcha.
Have my back.
Here for you.
I literally die all the time laughing from your commentary, banter, and just the stories. We have great commentary.
I mean, and our banter.
I don't know about today. I'm rough.
You know what? I'm lagging today, but it's fine. You're doing great.
We're doing great.
We're doing great.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Okay. I have shared your podcast with everyone in my office. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
That's all we're trying to
get. To all our listeners, you have homework today.
Everyone to
share this podcast with your whole office.
10 people.
At least.
10 people.
Message them.
Do you want us to get famous?
No context.
Or not?
Context? No, I said contacts.
Oh.
No context. Just send them this episode.
Send them an episode.
That's a good one. Okay.
And yeah. So we can get famous.
I'm
going to
shut up again so Taryn can read. So Taryn and I can both quit our day jobs and we'll just tour.
Bye. We'll bring Mark.
Too famous for you. Yeah.
Mark.
Mark and his dog can come.
Get ready.
Cool.
We're going on tour.
All right, Taryn.
All right. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I'm in the office. Because the stories are so relatable and I just couldn't help but share with everyone. Thank you.
Wow.
Anyway, you're reading for the story. So again, this story, It's not that long. Everyone always says that, but it's not that long. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. Let me begin with stating that my dad and I have never been close or had the typical daddy-daughter bond that you would typically think of. My parents were high school. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
My parents were high school sweethearts and were married for 10 years before they had me. I'm an only child, and from what I was told, their relationship was never that great after high school and during the marriage. I feel like a lot of high school sweethearts go through that. Because it's like when you're first dating, we just talked about this on about a story, when you're first dating and everything's just about having fun and like your connection. And then you get older and it's like about responsibility and your beliefs and just the stress of life.
Also, the amount of growth that an individual goes through from high school to like the age of 28.
18 to 25.
Yeah. Dramatic. So imagine being in a committed relationship through that entire thing and basically dating someone who you didn't originally like fall for.
Yeah.
Because like I'm not the same person I was when I was 18.
No, I'm not either. 18 to 20. Psychologists believe 18 to 25 is your like formative years. Yeah. So if you're dating someone within that time and you form into a person that's different from who you started with, that's a hard.
That's hard because that's who they are now.
Yeah. They ended up separating and getting divorced a month before I was born. Oh my gosh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So close.
Yeah. So I grew up never living with my dad. Growing up, he was always working to pay bills and child support that my mom never saw. My dad had two other wives and a girlfriend growing up. Plot twist, they were all related from the same family.
What?
Wow. Talk about like awkward family functions.
Wait, like
just every Thanksgiving he shows up with a different family sister? Member.
Wait. Oh. They were all.
That's like you getting married to someone and then you guys get divorced and then Alicia gets married to them and then they get divorced and then a cousin or me because I'm family.
Because you're family. Hell no.
No. How do you still. Yeah. That I would love to know what that looked like on a day-to-day basis. That has to be.
I mean, I would kill him.
Everyone.
And Alicia.
Yeah.
Together at the same time.
Of course.
With one bullet. No, I'm just kidding. Dark. Okay, I'm done.
The FBI is listening.
Morbid.
Okay. In my perspective, he always chose whichever one he was married or dating at the time and their family over our family.
Ew.
My dad always put me in awkward situations where I was left unsafe or uncomfortable. And when I told him about it, he would always just dismiss me. I was the youngest of all my step siblings. Flash forward to when I turned 11, I started refusing to go to my dad's for his weekend. I mean, why would I want to go somewhere to feel unsafe and not even be with my dad, but just with my step siblings?
Right.
My mom stopped making me go over to my dad's, which created an estranged relationship between my dad and I. When I was 16, my mother died of cancer, and I chose to stay living with my maternal grandfather and stepdad because 6 months prior to losing my mom, we lost her mom. I felt like I was obligated to stay with my stepfather and grandfather because we all just went through so much. First of all, I'm so sorry.
I can't imagine.
So heartbreaking. Oh my God. I have always been independent and especially practically raising myself because my mom's side of the family was always sick and in and out of hospitals. I'm now 25 years old and have been living with my dad due to unforeseen circumstances. And I hate to say it, but it is a very toxic environment. I have a boyfriend of 9.5 years and we are in the process of saving up on our own to get a place next year. But being that I recently graduated with my master's and my boyfriend still is in school, money is very tight right now. My dad has never supported my relationship and won't even try to get to know my boyfriend and just says he's not the one. Mind you, my boyfriend has been my rock and helped me through everything, and he wouldn't hurt a fly. Literally, I kill the bugs for him.
Oh.
I don't feel supported by my dad either. He had little faith in me going to college, let alone getting my master's. I put myself through school and pay most of my bills, and it is getting to the point where I don't want to come home anymore. My dad recently got a girlfriend, and her and I have not had a chance to get to know each other, even though I've tried. Again, he chooses to do things with her, even though I am the one putting in effort to do things with my dad to try to build a relationship with him. It has been a week and I have made an effort every day to better our relationship by inviting him to dinner, and yet he chooses her over me every time. Tonight they were at the house and I just felt so uncomfortable by them acting like teenagers and ignoring me. But yet he was spending the weekend down with her and her daughter because something came up. I'm writing to you because I need advice on what to do, how to feel somewhat comfortable in my own home again, and whether or not it's even worth putting in the effort with my dad. My family doesn't understand why my dad makes me so uncomfortable and why I feel this way. Thank you so much for reading this, and if you decide to share my story, you can say my name. Love, Jessica.
Jessica.
So heavy. This girl needs a break.
Honestly.
Like, a break.
I feel like we should start a GoFundMe so she can move out.
I know, right?
I can't imagine, one, everything you've gone through, but not the feeling of not being able to go home and not wanting to go home.
So hard.
Like, wrecks me, because home is like, it's supposed to be a sanctuary. Yeah. It's supposed to be where you can escape from the world, where you can let your guard down, where you can feel safe, where you can be vulnerable, and you're clearly not able to do any of that.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not fair, because that's not how it's supposed to be. But I feel like we should take a moment to recognize, like, all of your accomplishments. She stuck it to her dad and got her master's degree, even though he didn't believe in her or support her.
Which, like, why?
What kind of dad doesn't support their daughter going to school?
Like, what could possibly be a reason behind discouraging your kid to go to school?
Yeah, like, what kind of human being?
Why?
Wants to tear you down for going to school?
And it's not like she expected his money, because he hasn't been paying child support like her
entire
life.
So exactly. Like a butthole. I just love saying that name.
Ashley's on one today.
Butthole. it's so messed up, because clearly I love the independence that you have, and I applaud it, and I am so proud of you for doing your own thing, getting yourself through school, even though no one supported you, and paying for all your own bills. That's incredible. All the way through your master's program. Yeah. Like, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. So I'm so proud of you. But that's not fair. Like, that's not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have a family there supporting you and taking care of you along the way, you know?
Well, and even, I mean, my parents helped me, like, my first year in college. And then I had to take out loans, which I'll be paying off till I die. It's fine. Private school. Rough. But, like, they still made me feel so supported during the entire thing. Like, they would help me with books if, like, I was a little short on money. They would, you know, like, ask me about school. They would encourage me. Like, they would check in on me and be like, how are things going? Like, it's not even just the money. It's the fact that he doubted her. Like, she said he didn't have faith in me that I would graduate college, let alone my master's. Like, what kind of evil person does that?
No, I mean, my parents couldn't afford college either. It took me, like, damn near 6 years to get through it for just my degree.
My parents knew after the first year, they're like, this is going to be rough.
But my parents couldn't pay for it. But they, you know what? They made me dinner and they would help out with books. And that's enough. And that made me feel supported, you know? And that's what family's supposed to do. And I had the absolute gift of being able to go home and, like, look forward to going home and, like, feel comfortable at home, and she didn't even have that. So that is it's such a bummer. Obviously it has made you into the strongest human being.
Oh yeah, you're gonna kill it in life.
And I can't wait for you to just freaking just show your dad up one day. But I am so sorry that you're going through all of that.
No, I fully agree. And I think there's a few more just, like, practical statements I want to make about this. One is, I don't know what your unforeseen circumstances are that made you have to move in with your dad. I'm assuming you've mentioned finances a couple times. So maybe it's like I financially just had to live there, or I didn't have anywhere to go. So I totally get that, and obviously you have to do what you have to do, but I would definitely, like, try to find another solution.
I agree.
Whether it's a friend, whether it's a few friends that you're like, hey, can I stay for like a couple months with each of you? Whatever it is, maybe another family member. I would try to just reach out and see if there's another solution there. If not, then okay, we're moving past that point. Second thing I would say is I think at some point I applaud you so much for trying to better your relationship, especially with someone who doesn't seem to want to better it for themselves. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's fair that you're trying to convince your dad to love you, even in like the most minimal way.
You should never have to convince anyone.
No. So I think at some point, and I think we've touched on this before. I know I've had to do this with certain friendships and relationships in my life. It's almost like, you know, in Vampire Diaries when they like switch their humanity off.
Yeah.
I feel like there's like, obviously not that extreme, but I think there's something that happens when a relationship is affecting and hurting you so much. You have to kind of like switch off a piece of you that and create distance enough to where that person doesn't hurt you anymore. And it's hard to do, especially like, I mean, it's really hard for me to do because I'm like an all or nothing person. But I think that you need to start seeing your dad for what he is, which is your roommate. And a person in your life who you are connected to, but who is just not deserving of your effort right now.
Not a single ounce of it.
No. And so I think you need to like put that for what it is. And when your expectations are that low, you're not getting hurt as much. It doesn't mean you can't like come back in and try again. Or if he comes around, you're like, no, you had your chance. You know what I mean? But you've got to protect yourself. And then the last thing I will say is I'm a big believer in like nesting and making your room a safe space. So I would put all of your energy into making your room an oasis that you can just come home, you escape to your room, whatever it is, whether it's twinkle lights, whether it's candles, whether it's decor. You can go to thrift stores and find super cool furniture and like different things. But I would invest in nesting and making your room
your
own, like that's your apartment. Like think about it as like, I am renting a room and this is my room. This is my safe space. This is where I go to escape. And I feel like if you do some of those things, I think it will alleviate some of the pressure until you're able to freaking peace out. like get out. You know what I mean?
I work really well with plans. I've always been this way. I hated my eighth grade year with a passion. And I sat down with my mom and made a plan about how I was going to get through the next like 6 months because I hated
really
eighth grade.
I didn't know this.
Same thing happened in high school. My best friend was a year older than me, so my senior year, hated it. It was like the worst. And I sat down with my mom and made a plan about, I made a whole outline of what the last few, like that last year was going to look like, and I stuck to it, and that like got me through, and I've always been that way. I feel like you have two options. You can go with option A, which is, and sorry, I should reiterate, this really depends on how toxic it is in the home, and only you know that answer. If it is extremely toxic and you have to get out now, then I would make it a full-time job, reaching out to friends, asking if they know of a friend or if they are willing to let you like couch surf for the next year between your friends, or if they know of someone who, you know, would give you a room for cheap rent. I had a friend who was getting engaged and money was tight and she did not want to live with her mom because it was a very toxic relationship. And she ended up at a friend's parents' house and renting a room, and money was tight, but she would have much rather done that than live with her mom, and like that was better for her. So I feel like you have to, I feel like that's option A, is you make it your number one priority to find something, even if it's couch surfing, if depending on the toxicity level. If it's doable and you feel like you can get through it, then I would make the tightest budget. Do what you got to do, but very conservative when it comes to shopping, when it comes to food, when it comes to gas. Like if you can walk, maybe walk or bike or whatever, and get out of there as soon as you can by saving as much as you can. I feel like I work really well when I see how much money I'm allowed to spend And I'll be like, do I want that coffee or do I want to move out?
Yeah.
And I know it's extreme, but you seem like a very strong person. I think you can handle it. That's kind of what you have to do when you're in sticky situations.
Yeah.
And I think those are your two solid options.
Yeah.
Either get out of there as soon as you can to protect yourself and deal with having to possibly live on the couch, or pinch your pennies and get out of there a little bit later, but, you know, still quick.
Yeah, I think just really invest in focusing on solutions and what to do.
And include your boyfriend.
Yeah. But I don't think you said, like, do I keep trying with my dad? Mm-mm. I feel like you've done a lot. And I think that if he comes around, he will. And then awesome. But if not, then you need to, like, worry about yourself right now.
Everyone's level is different, but you're 25. He has had 25 years to make some kind of attempt at anything. So the fact that there has been nothing, in my opinion, is reason enough to back off and focus on yourself.
Well, yeah, because it's hurting you. It'd be one thing if you were like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. If you guys had, like, you know, if he had been around and was trying here and there, like, maybe try to give it more time. But he clearly, he's not prioritizing you, so you shouldn't prioritize him.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, Jessica. That's such a bummer.
But I think like you're in the part of life that shapes you so much and you're so close to the part where like all your training, all your strength, everything that's happened like leads you to like an exciting time in life.
And there is obviously you have a great guy in your life and you guys are trying to move out. There is a light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah.
And it might be a rough like next year, but it's happening and it's going to happen soon. And I know it probably doesn't feel like it right now, but time really does fly and it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, it really does. Ugh. You got this, girl.
You got it. We support you.
You got this.
We're here for you.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for writing in.
Yeah, beautiful stories today.
Really appreciate it. And for everyone listening, I hope you were able to take something away from this too. I'm going to give you a dad
joke. Wrap it up with a dad joke, Taryn.
Why are prisoners not good musicians?
Chains.
The old bars. One word answer. Close. Because they're always behind a few bars and can't find the key.
That's so good. Wait, that was a good one.
Right?
That was real good. That was real good.
All right, y'all. We love you so much. Stick around.
We're a good time.
We're a great time.
Follow us on the socials. Like, rate, share,
rate, review, subscribe.
Rate, subscribe.
All the things.
All the things.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Stop coffee. Love you. Bye.